So apparently, I live on the sun now.
Well, that
Freaking hot here.
sounds hot. I was gonna say, let me just click on over to weather.com. I'll give you the temperature where I am. It is also quite hot. Honestly, it says it's 66 degrees right now, but it feels much hotter. Oh, there's the problem right there. Had my hot pad on under my back.
Yeah.
Like, man, I'm sweating. This ain't right.
Wow,
And my back's hot.
66? Like you go out your door is 66 degrees.
That's right.
It's 100 out there right now at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay, that's too hot.
It's ridiculous.
Too
Got to
hot.
be 130 in what is that place, Death Valley?
Yeah.
I think you if you walk through 130, that'll cook a turkey, right?
That seems like it checks out. So, but you got to remember the turkey is a son of a bitch. They're
They
really,
deserve it.
yeah.
Like birds are just gonna like plop to the ground already fried.
That's good eating. You kind of fold them inside out, pop out the guts. It's like kind of stick your thumbs in the belly, pull it apart, pop
I
them
didn't
guts
want to
out of
go
there.
into all that kind of
Throw the
detail.
guts right on the. You know, you can eat the head.
Only in China.
They were doing it in Africa too, South Africa,
Yeah,
out in
I
the
think
villages.
I remember being in an Iranian restaurant once where there was some beak or something. Was delicious. I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the right spices.
Oh, so like Lari's. What do you think? Should we just dive right in, get started?
Yeah, we might as well.
Get this shit show over with. All right. Gunther, cue the guitar music. Hello, listener, and welcome to your new 18th favorite podcast right behind Erotic Confessions from Assisted Living. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent. This is a podcast we should maybe just delete. Right after we record it, and where the only limit is your imagination, Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate, author, editor, art connoisseur.
And I'm Brent, story writer, beer enjoyer, future skeleton. If you are at work, a child at work, super lame, an exotic dancer who's due on stage in 5 minutes, some kind of psycho or something, or my own dear sweet mother, I'm going to step right up and recommend that you listen to something besides this highly entertaining and informative podcast.
Hey,
I think that was a good episode. We can stop it right there.
that was good.
Yeah.
Delete that.
Give it the old deletey.
So, how you been, Brent?
Not so bad. Not so bad.
That's good.
As I was talking to you before, I got a new mask in the mail.
Nice. Let's have a look at that mask.
It is, in fact, upstairs, and I'm not going to get it. But for the listeners, it is, in fact, like the Cobra Commander, the mirror face shield mask. Got that. It arrived in the mail yesterday, and boy, was I excited. It's a little on the snug side, so it just about forms a seal around my face. So when I'm, trying to run kids class at jujitsu, and I'm trying to run around a little bit and have some energy, I'm just like sucking this thing tight to my face, and it just it, I had
A little hard to breathe.
and I had a cloth mask on underneath it, so it was just, yeah, I thought I was gonna die. But I couldn't admit failure. I couldn't just like take it off and start gasping, put my head down or anything like that. You just gotta play through and hope you live, because the kids are toughing it out in their little ninja masks. And so I told them that they have to call me Overlord when I have the mask on, and they seem
Are
like
they?
they're going for it so
Yeah,
far. Yeah,
nice.
but I was so excited about it. I should have known it's probably going to be more of a kid's size, but my kid can't have it. This is mine. If he wants one, he can chip in $12 and we'll get him one. But this is daddy's. even if it does, you know, make me die.
Some things are just worth it.
One of the students, a little girl, she brought me a present today. And what was it? Like a little candy canister, like a little gum canister that she put some candy in, and then she colored it with markers on the outside. She said, "Coach, I brought this for you." I said, "Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you." And then I stopped in the middle of class and I said, "Hey, everybody, look over here at this girl." And we'll call her Amanda. "Look over here at Amanda. Amanda brought me a present today. She's the only one. Nobody else brought me a present. That means Amanda is the best one in class today, and the rest of you are tied for the worst." Yeah, they kind of scowled at her a little bit, but and then I singled her out again later towards the end of class too. So hopefully these kids start bringing me stuff. And
right, and not that apple crap or like macaroni necklaces bullshit.
Right.
Right. Good gifts.
"I brought you an apple." "Oh, good. Well, I'm going to take this outside and throw it at your daddy's truck. How's that? You going to bring me an apple? Why don't you bring me a golf ball next time? See how that bounces off the glass." God damn it. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Cardi B's WAP. Yes, WAP stands for Whimsical Aromatic Perfume, and you'll wish you could apply it with a mop and bucket. You'll want to make it rain Cardi B's WAP all over you before you step out the door. Job interview? Cardi B's WAP. Meeting your significant other's parents for the first time? Cardi B's WAP. Custody hearing? That's right, Cardi B's WAP. Yes, Cardi B's WAP is literally perfect for every occasion. Get it all over you. Welcome to the podcast, Cardi B's WAP. Whimsical aromatic perfume. I have smelled it and it is refreshing. It's delightful.
I have nothing to add.
What's been on your mind?
Well, do we have any letters in our mailbox yet? Did we get any poems or...
Okay. So here's the deal about the poems. We did get a couple of submissions, but I'm fishing for more. I want a cavalcade of these things. So I'm gonna go back to where I was, and I'm gonna say, "Hey, listen, you fucking ingrates. I said I wanted haikus and limericks, and you send them over, and the more inappropriate the better." And I say, "Nothing about ovipositors."
Definitely.
Or cloacas.
Cloacas. No cloacas.
Did you know that with cloaca, what you can do is if you have like a small, what are those tiny umbrellas? A parasol?
Oh, yeah.
How are you letting me continue this? You're supposed to stop me.
I want to see where you're going to go with an umbrella.
I didn't have any place to go. You're supposed to stop me. God damn it. Well, listener, welcome to our last episode. The chemistry is fucking gone.
Oh, well, what can I say?
Before I let you speak, Kate, because as the man, it is up to me.
You're going to let me speak.
That's right. Because I'm all about equality. You know, it's time that men were equal to women.
No, I disagree. I have to disagree with that. I think we need at least 50 years. I'm going to say it should be like 300 to 500, but I'm going to go, I would settle for 50. We're just going to have to be boss for 50 years. And then maybe then we can have a little equality. I don't know.
You're going to need longer than 50 years. You know who should have been running the show on Cobra with G.I. Joe, like Cobra? There was Cobra Commander, right? And he had the cool mirror mask. And then he also had like this shroud that he wore over his face. Cobra Commander kind of sucked. You know, the Baroness was really competent and she had a really cool outfit.
Did she? I have no idea what the show is. I have not watched it.
G.I. Joe?
I did not watch the G.I. Joe boy shows. What the fuck? Who's got time for that?
There was women.
Hair soldiers. Bears.
There's like four women on the, it was like two women on Cobra and two women on G.I. Joe, and the rest were all dudes. And they'd shoot at each other with these laser rifles all the time, and they like have like even like huge artillery lasers, but nobody really ever died. So you guys suck at war. But I wanted to mention something really quick that has been weighing on my brain. I messaged you pretty much in real time as soon as this person said this to me, but it was a lady that I work with was saying how, like, well, why are they getting all this? Why are they trying to round up money for art and music programs anyway? And blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure what she thought I did for a living, but what I in fact do is be a graphic designer. And I supplement that by writing books. So the arts and the musics are kind of part of an important part of my life and my livelihood. So I just told her, like, hey, yeah, I really take offense at that. And I wish I could remember her exact words. I could probably bring up the Facebook conversation we had, because I told you right away exactly what she said. But like, she just couldn't believe that they were trying to raise money for the art and music program. Because what had happened was the school told the teachers, like, listen, we're stretched thin. We don't have, a lot of funds for art supplies because everybody, there can't be any community supplies anymore. Everybody's got to have their own stuff. And it's like, we don't have a lot of money for your program in light of that. So kind of on your own, whatever you can raise. And then she's like, why are they trying to get money for that? That's a blah, blah, blah. You fucking said that to my face. you leaned over and you told me that on purpose. What the fuck?
So you're a big fan of the arts, I take it. Yeah.
Right. Everybody.
So turns out that in fact, not everyone knows a lot about art. And my thoughts this week have been falling to things that you would say to people to engage them in talk about art. Because you know how we're always going to parties with lots of people we barely know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, doing that constantly.
Especially now.
Right. You go to that party and someone gives you a martini and there's a thing in it that could be a tongue, but it's probably not a tongue. And you drink it anyway. And the guy who's standing next to you looks like his shirt is spun out of gold. The lady with him, her, the bag she's holding, it costs more than your car. Hmm. So, like, what are you going to talk to these people about, right? At that party? Well, art.
Yeah.
What else? I'm not really a small talker, so I kind of studied up on it. On like the good ways to make an impression, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll just back off into a corner and act like a houseplant. And well, that never gets anything done, right?
Yeah. Right? Well, my plan is usually to glom onto one person that seems like they can put up with my shit, or at the very least seems like they're going to drink the same, kind of pace as I'm going to, and then they got a friend, whether they like it or not.
Get naked and jump into the pool.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Or vice versa,
Right. All right. Right.
Brent just jumped in the pool. Oh fuck. Oh no, he's throwing his clothes out now. Oh fuck. Did he bring a case of his own wine that he was drinking? Shit.
So over the years, I learned that like success in small talk at cocktail parties and social gatherings, nobody really wants to hear what you have to say. They want to hear like what they have to say. So success it comes from being like wide rather than deep.
Mm.
It's a good idea just to like cast your net out there, say lots of funny, interesting things, and nobody ever, honest to God, I tried this early on, nobody wants to hear your dissertation. Nobody wants the facts. Nobody wants any figures, numbers, any, you know, like in-depth analysis. So it's like the thing to talk about is like interesting sound bites that people can remember. And no real facts. And like if you're talking with your friend and you're both into art and you really know what you're talking about, like talk. But like people you just met, they don't know shit. They don't care. But you know, maybe they have a lot of money and they want to make a movie of your book, so you got to be their friend, right?
Yeah.
So you got to be funny and you got to say cool things they're going to remember. Art is a really good thing to talk about because who knows much about art, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you do, kind of, huh?
I'm about the same as music. I know, like, the four that I like.
Exactly. Everyone's like that. So art is always a good topic because it intimidates some people, which, you know, intimidating is always good. And I can get away with it because I look like someone's college professor if I got the right jacket on. And like maybe a haircut. I could really use a haircut to pull that off. And anyone who really knows a lot about art is probably investing in it. And they're like, you know, someone who's going to make a movie out of your book. So, you know, you want to engage them in a conversation.
Yeah, they're trying to move some money around for some sanctioned Russian oligarchs. And like, well, art isn't really, you know, right. Get a lot of regulation. So
oligarchs are awesome. I can't wait to be an oligarch.
Till you go against the party.
Oh, sorry.
Don't drink your tea.
A good source for quotes or just like funny things to say and be memorable is to go straight to the artists themselves. So I got a few. I'm going to read them because I have not been studying my flashcards or going to parties lately. But, you know, if I was on my way to a party, I'd have my flashcards and I'd practice before I went. And I'd have this on the tip of my tongue. It could just roll right out. But
practicing on your Uber driver. He's like, well, actually, shut up. No feedback, dick.
So here's a thing you would say. Like, there's a little lull in the conversation and you say, as Banksy said, the holy grail is to spend less time making the picture than it takes people to look at it. Oh, that'll be a good one, right?
Yeah. I can already hear the stuffy asshole whose money I want chortling on the Banksy.
Oh, here we go. Here's another. Don't pay attention to what they write about you. Just measure it in inches. Andy Warhol. Nice. And here's a good one. Like, I think that the very earliest influence was the horror of having to work in a bank or an office. And that is something Frank Auerbach said.
Oh.
So
I was going to guess Seurat.
Yeah, I'm not all that sure who Frank Auerbach is. I can kind of place him in like the 1950s, but I'm guessing, like, I'm pretty up on the art. Nobody else is. I'm going to keep that for myself. Hmm. I'm going to act like I said that. So score. If anyone calls me on it, all I have to say is, oh, right. Frank said that to me. Or I heard it.
So the one I like that stuck with me the most was my man, El Salvador Dali. I don't take drugs. I am drugs. Oh, Salvador. You old scamp with your deep fears of lady parts and crazy childhood of pooping around the house and waiting for people to find it.
Why don't we still do that?
Because my wife will yell at me. It's like 90% of the living I don't do is because I'm going to get yelled at. It's like I can't poop in her coat pocket because I'll get yelled at. It's like all this life that I'm missing out on.
That marriage business. Yeah. It's not for the adventurous.
I was just telling the kids.
Lock you down, right?
Yeah. I was just telling all the kids at kids class on Tuesday, never get married, kids. I said, you never, ever get married. They're kind of looking at me funny, but I think they'll get it. I'll keep after them.
Better to nip that right in the bud. So when the topic of art comes up, it's probably, if you're really going to fake it, you kind of need to have like a general idea of who's who. Mm-hmm. You'd need to know like a few names and the basic movements, but you know, wide, not deep. Like Christo, everyone should probably know Christo, the guy who did the like installations and the spirally thing in Florida, and he recently died. And
yeah, I mean, if you wanted to with Christo, I mean you can just take like a firm position to, well, I don't like to talk about Christo. I consider him to be an environmental terrorist, you know.
Good. Just shut it down right there.
Yeah.
And you're pro environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless somebody really has the deep knowledge of Christo, when they can be like, well, actually his stuff was very environmental. Like yeah, I know that's what he said on his blog.
Wide, not deep. So you should probably know what the what SAMO means, S-A-M-O, and know that Jean-Michel Basquiat signed his street art that way, SAMO. Like a good thing to know, because street art is very up to the moment. And you probably want to know that, like, he died of a heroin overdose, because that makes you seem edgy. You might want to know, like, who are a couple of the big names in abstract expressionism?
Such as?
Good. Who is it, Brent? Like, Willem de Kooning? And maybe see, I have notes. I'm looking at my notes. I completely am. But, you know, we always Kandinsky? Have a phone. Lee Krasner, Kandinsky, yeah, he would be one.
Yeah, he had like
Hans Hoffman would be one. But who goes to school for this anymore? Nobody, because they don't fund it.
Yeah, because what's the point? It's like, what does art and music ever do for us? Like, I'm a hockey mom. No, you know, there's no graphic designers involved in my kid's team's logo, or industrial designers designing their protective gear and skates and helmets. God damn it. And continue, sorry.
So you should probably know a little bit about the performance art, like Matthew Barney and his Cremaster movies, and those are pretty awesome. But, you know, if you get that blank look like you're giving me, you just go like, or if someone else brings up something you haven't heard of, you go, oh, I like the early stuff. But then I just don't know where it went. Right?
What's super funny is my kid, we got the new Tool CD last summer. He's like, I'm so sick of it. He will tell you, I like Tool's earlier stuff.
He's 7. He's 8.
He's 8. Fuck you. God damn.
He even figure that out all on his own.
He's not trying to. That's just sincere. I like we call it the little boy song, but it's H, you know.
I don't mind. I don't.
That one. And so he likes that. And like a lot of stuff from Anima and that we played for him. We don't play everything for him, obviously. But yeah, he likes the earlier stuff. He likes Metallica's earlier stuff too.
That's so great. That works in every field. I remember like being in like a disco in the 80s saying, yeah, Madonna's early stuff was better. I've been saying that for like 40 years now.
Well, he's all about Weird Al right now.
Yeah.
Especially the early stuff.
Oh, that's so great. He's going to be a complete schmoozer when he gets older.
Yeah. And he was talking today about how awesome it would be if I came home and I had two tickets for me and him to go see Weird Al. And we went and Weird Al played Albuquerque, because Albuquerque is an 11-minute ramble that is just fucking awesome. And mommy has no patience for Albuquerque, because there's a lot of like, do you have any glazed donuts? Nah, we're out of glazed donuts. Do you have any jelly donuts? Nah, we're out of jelly donuts. Do you have any cream filled donuts? Nah, we're out of cream filled donuts. And it kind of goes on like that for a little while. There's a hermaphrodite in that song and a colonic irrigation.
Oh my. I don't think I've heard that one. I should maybe look that up.
Weird Al, Albuquerque. It'll change your life. It changed mine. I've been listening to Weird Al since I was, you know, my kid's age, but I only had a couple tapes, and like, this has been around this whole time. Why didn't I have the whole catalog until now? I'm like, shit. That's 41 wonderful. Years old, and I finally discovered, you know, one of Weird Al's greatest songs from 40 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm sorry. Anyway, I derailed you again.
No, that's fine. So here's how to ingratiate yourself with the art lover. So if anyone brings up the following, this is where the eye roll goes, but a very subtle, just look away to the very sophisticated person. So if someone brings up the Impressionists, all you have to do is just put your head a little to the side. You can't really roll your eyes and like wag your finger like, what the fuck? Because, like, you know, everybody's seen them. They're pretty. There's a lot of pink and like pale blue. You know what they are. Mm-hmm. All right. Van Gogh. If anyone claims to be like the, nobody's the biggest Van Gogh fan, like everybody, like, shut up, right?
Starry Night.
No, that's like Catcher in the Rye is my favorite book. You fucking idiot. I never want to talk to you again. And I'm being fake about this art thing. Someone brings up Thomas Kincaid, it's okay to pour gasoline on them and set them on fire. Seriously, right?
Well, that's good to know.
Are you a fan of the Thomas Kincaid?
No.
I have a hard time looking at it directly. It's very glowy. The little glowy houses with the glowy lights. Mm-hmm. There's a serial killer in the shed of every one of those houses, motherfuckers.
Everything
don't feel too comfortable.
Everything's just happy and cozy and warm and oh, quiet. Nothing could be wrong.
Nothing.
The world's great.
And maybe, like, he's got some merit, but if Leonardo da Vinci is your go-to favorite artist or artist you want to bring up at a cocktail party, there's really not much more you can say about Mona Lisa, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably, you know, it's going to fall a little flat. The last bit of advice I have is if you forget who's who or your knowledge is faltering and you can't remember and the people are just chatting, and just make up a big fucking lie and just tell it like you really know what you're talking about. Just spew it out there and wave your arms and tell everybody what you think and just lie, lie, lie. And if anyone knows and they give you that look, you just wink at them. And they're going to jump right in and start telling big lies too every time it works. I've tried it. Works. And that's how Kate gets by at parties. That and like drinking too much.
Mm.
Yeah.
This is similar, but I was part of a Texahoma Writers Guild that my friend Cypher Scribe had, that he was running, and they invited me and another author to kind of talk.
Nice. This one day. You never said anything.
It was kind of fun, but it was St. Patrick's Day, so we were all boozing it, and they were writing, and me and the other author were just kind of like boozing it. And well, anyway, somebody brought up Descartes, and I pulled this one out. Well, Descartes said nature is mute, so I kind of just tune him out because I had some smarmy like little spiel that, you know, just a couple sentences that, like, well, Descartes said nature is mute, so I blah 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 blah, fuck that guy. And everybody's like, wow, you really know this is Descartes. Like, no, that's the only thing I know. And I heard it from somebody else. So I'm not even, I never actually read Descartes say nature is mute. So what the fuck do I know? But they were all very impressed.
Wide, not deep.
Yeah. Like they weren't there. Nobody was about to like fact check me either. Like, did Descartes say? So yeah, that was kind of a home run.
Oh, that's pretty good. I would have come back with my favorite Spinoza quote, but I'm a master.
So who are your favorite fine artists these days?
Well, I'm really quite fond of M. Dickey from Greece. He's working in the street art area right there, doing some amazing things. Although, his older work. Seriously, you're going to ask me after I went in the whole spiel about how to bullshit about art? So, you must have a favorite.
Well, I like the visionary stuff and like monstrous things. So Chet Czar is really good. Wayne Barlow has amazing paintings of his Hell series, and he's got some books about it that is pretty awesome. Alex Gray has awesome visionary stuff. You know,
are you a fan of the Helmlein, Gottfried Helmlein, the German artist?
I am not sure who. I do not know who that is.
I think you would really enjoy him. He paints enormously huge puppets and small children, which is a little disturbing, but you know, it's a little off kilter. But he's working here in LA. He's pretty cool. Yeah, I saw his stuff.
Yeah, Chet Czar is out in LA too.
He's in the neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping to be able to cross paths with him at some point when we're out there. But so he painted. Well, some of his paintings got onto these wine labels that when we were at the Stoker convention on the Queen Mary, there's a bunch of wine with his art on it. So we got a couple of those.
I was helping out at the World Horror Convention in San Jose, not last year, but the year before. And I was like in charge of the book. The souvenir book for them.
Yeah.
And my publisher said, do you know Chet Czar? We're publishing his art book. Oh my God. Yeah. So that's how I know him. We're like buds. We had the same publisher. I even got to see his PDF there for a second. It was very cool. Back when people were in the same room together.
Man, those were the days.
Right?
Of course, I like Salvador Dali. And then there's Yves Tanguy is the origin of Chuggy. First thing I ever wrote was on the way back from Museum of Modern Art in Minnesota, in Twin Cities. So there's an Yves Tanguy painting that was basically, there was a little more to it, but it was mostly these posts in the middle of this empty kind of foggy field that just like really stuck with me. And then on the way back to Wisconsin on the bus, I had sketched it when we were in there. And then, so I just like started writing a scene about my man Chuggy, these little needle mouth monsters that were in the fog. And I drew a picture of this bone dagger called the Bleeding Jaws of Glughu. And
Miss Chuggy.
Yeah, I've been hearing that from a few people lately. I got this novella to write and this screenplay that I'm working on and a video game and then straight into Chuggy. Well, I think once I get the novella going, I think that's gonna fuel some fire and cool.
So we're gonna have quite a party come this May in Denver. Are. It is going to be a blowout. StokerCon 2021, Denver.
And Kate with a tummy full of edibles.
Perhaps. I'm not so fond of that stuff. I'm more of, like, to be honest, I think I would prefer, like, all right, I'm going to tell you a secret. Life is better with cocaine.
I believe you've told that secret on this podcast before.
Have I? Yeah. Like, I mean, you can't keep it going for long, but while it's going, life is better with cocaine.
Well, this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Scales of the Crocky. While other hand creams are promising smooth, soft skin, only Scales of the Crocky promises the opposite. The time for soft skin is over. It's time for rough, armor-like scales that are difficult to puncture, even with a big Bowie knife. Scales of the Crocky brand lotion should not be used on or near eyes, mouths, armpits, or genitals. Consult your physician immediately if you observe any strange side effects. That's Scales of the Crocky. Get yourself a big jug today.
I would love that. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome.
That's from the makers of Gator Skin lotion. So I guess there's a difference between crocodile skin and gator skin. I don't know. So I was camping last weekend and
glamping. I saw the pictures. You were definitely glamping.
Glamping my ass. I was in a tent next to a river. Glamping.
It's a pretty fancy looking tent to me.
It's $110.
But there was some like caviar in there and champagne
and room like for caviar butler. And champagne. All there's room for is a cot, a blanket, and my cocaine. So you might remember me talking about the cards that I made where I make them face like ah, and then. Hit them all over my brother's house.
I don't know that our listeners can hear the expression.
They have to use their imagination when I go.
You might have to describe that face.
I'm doing like a 3/4 turn. And I got my mouth open and a crazy smile on my eyes. I got one eyebrow kind of up, and I'm like doing like a crazy eyes with a big wide smile. And then I cut that out in Photoshop. And then I put that in the middle of a business card on Vistaprint, who's not a sponsor yet. Vistaprint, you fuckers. get on board, god damn it, maybe come fucking down there. And
you got to be nice or they're never gonna step up.
Nice is your job. My job is to terrify them with my mirror mask when I show up and just don't say anything. And they're like, hey, whoa, are you looking for somebody? And I just kind of like slowly shake my head. Oh, that's creepy, mirror guy. Come on, man. What are you doing? You need to see Craig or something? And then I like nod, and then they let me in and see Craig. But anyway, so I hit them all over my brother's house. And that was fun. And my sister, who listens to this podcast once in a while, probably doesn't think there are going to be any at her house, but you know I can't be stopped. So we're camping last weekend, and my cousin Adam is there, and my uncle Jim is there, and yeah, you know, I put a couple of cards in their truck under the visor, so when they flip it down to get the sun out of their eyes, oh, what's going to drop on their lap? My smiling face. And I put a couple like in the side compartment of their camper, but I didn't go inside because they both had dogs inside their camper, and an angry little tiny little like mop, a little mop dog, like, yeah, you know the one. And so I put one, I like kind of tucked it against the little corner into the weather stripping a little bit where it flaps open. You can put something in there and I put it on the window, so they go in their camper. And there's me smiling into the window. Well, Uncle Jim, he found his and he thought it was pretty funny. He went to go take it off, and the sun had been shining on it. Fucking fused it to the glass. So my face is a permanent fixture. I'm like, ah, I kind of feel like an asshole. And they're like, nah, yeah, it's funny. We'll get it off there. I'm like, well, use some acetone or something. I don't know. But I really hope the next time we go camping with them that won't be on there anymore, because they're not going to be smiling about it then. They're going to be like, we thought we could get it off, you son of a. So one of my relatives, a young lady named Devin, was along, and I shared a story with her, and she said, well, she started asking me about the podcast. We got the whole group sitting around a big fire. There's like, you know, 12 people, most of them grown-ups. And I'm 41. I'm not a grown-up. You know, these are people that are like parents, you know, like, I guess.
Olds.
Well, I say olds, but they're definitely older than me, you know. Closer to my parents' age than my age. I feel like a kid around these people. So anyway, they're like, oh, well, what about this podcast? I'm like, right, the podcast. Well, what's it about? I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of bullshit, you know. And my aunt's like, well, I listen. I need something to listen to. I got an hour commute. I'm like, no, I don't know if you like it. I don't know if you like it, you know. No, okay. So she starts reading me episode. She's like, well, what's this one about? I'm like, oh, well, permafrost. Oh, that's a good one. You know, we talk about ovipositors a little bit. And she starts reading me episode titles, and I'm laughing. I'm like, yeah, well, that one I don't know. That's, maybe let's start with that one, dear aunt. What one should I start with? Like, I don't know, a different podcast.
But This American Life is great. You're gonna love it.
So you know, Devin's in our demographic. I think she's like 25. Also, cancer survivor. She beat cancer's dirty ass. So fuck nice. You. Don't come back. Good. You little fucking.
Congratulations, Devin.
Yeah. Warrior. And so I was telling her a little bit about Beagle trials.
Oh.
And the time I
like
left
the trials of beagles and the trials and tribulations, right. And like how they sing the blues and
that. And the time I left a kid to die. At a beagle trial.
Oh.
So beagle trials work like this. You bring your dogs and you go to the beagle grounds and there'd be different classes. There's, you know, like 13-inch males. They measure at the shoulders. 13-inch males, 13-inch bitches.
13 inches from where?
From the ground to the top of the shoulders.
Oh.
There's 13-inch bitches, 15-inch males, 15-inch bitches. And they're going to take your class, and you're going to be paint numbers on the side in yellow paint, and then you're going to turn them loose on these on rabbit, and they're going to chase them around the beagle grounds. This is fenced in, a couple acres.
Is that what beagles are born to do?
Chase rabbits, that's right.
I didn't know that. So they're not the hole diggers or like weasel chasers or
anything? No, I don't think so. They might dig a hole, but anyway, so they're chasing the rabbits around, and there's these trails that cut through, and there's judges who watch where the rabbit goes across, and then the pack of dogs comes behind the rabbit, and who's ever like right on the trail. They gotta be right on the trail, they gotta be barking. You know, if you're in front, you know, the judge is going to give the dog points and sees the number on the side. Okay, number 17, was right on. Number 29 was running down the trail and just barking like, you know, he was kind of cheating. Like so,
my dog.
Yeah. And so then there's field marshals who get to go out there.
That sounds serious.
Yeah. Yeah. They're kids, usually. And it was usually me and my brother.
They call them field marshals, like Nazis. Yeah. Oh my god!
Well, not like Nazis, no. But so you go through and like
in the Nazi army.
Yeah, but other armies too, Kate. So
really,
probably. And so the marshals will be like, you know, the judge will tell you like, okay, I want you to wait here at this like intersection because there's like these paths cut through. And wait you right here, and you watch, you know, because you can hear the pack coming through, and keep an eye out for the rabbit, and you know, mark the spot and stuff like that. So that was a lot of weekends when I was a kid, was going to beagle trials and being a field marshal and running through the woods covered in bug spray and still getting bit and just waiting for somebody to say, why don't you go back to the clubhouse? You can chug like 3 ice cold Mountain Dews and try and cool off for a little bit. And sometimes you get to, if the dogs lose the rabbit, you gotta hark them in. There's rabbits all through there. You just gotta hark them in. So
what does that word mean, hark?
You gotta get in the woods, field marshals, and make a little line and walk through this section where the judges think there's gonna be a rabbit. And hark, bark like a beagle. And so you got to stomp through the woods and bark.
What a life skill. I hope you still use that, like at work when things don't go your way.
Just start barking. Yeah.
Yeah. Hark, hark.
Yeah. Well, I also think it would work. It couldn't hurt. Anyways, if you were, say, being arrested, just start barking.
Right?
And like, oh man, this guy's fucked up or something. I don't know. Then, you know, I don't know. Then see where you're going to take it next. I don't know. Every situation's going to be different. But yeah, bark at every opportunity.
Have you ever been arrested?
What? So, before I was old enough to be a field marshal, I was at a beagle trial in northern Michigan. And so there's this area where you can go to called the gallery, where you can just go in there and sit. And like, well, so me and this other little boy who was a little bit younger than me, and we had gone in between classes. They're like taking a break, you know, getting the next class ready. So we're just like going walking through the beagle grounds. And that's when I heard it. This chatter, this rattle. That I knew it was rattlesnakes.
Man, you have those?
I started to panic.
I thought that was Texas in the Southwest. They have
it started getting louder, Kate.
Oh, no.
And I started to kind of walk faster, a little faster. I started to run and I took off because it was louder and louder. I started to panic. I had to run. I had to get away from the rattlesnake.
Did you get there?
I left him there. I was every man for himself at that point. I ran. He was younger than me and I wanted to help him, but I couldn't. You know, it was life or death. I had to get away. I could live or we could both die. I hope he gets out of there. You know,
I understand.
In the back of my mind, something was like, that's probably a squirrel. But in the front of my mind, I had to honor the possibility that it was rattlesnakes and I was terrified. So I ran and I left and he's screaming at me. I left that little boy to die. Now, eventually he made it back to the clubhouse. And he didn't really talk to me anymore after that. It was a little awkward because he was right over there and I could see him. We're like eating lunch and like hot dog and some potato chips. And he's over there making a point to not look at me. So if you're out there listening, little boy who I abandoned to be killed by rattlesnakes, glad you made it out. Sorry. Sorry about the abandoning you to be killed by rattlesnakes.
Oh, there's only 11 more steps to go, Brent.
Yeah, well, I'll have to take your word on that one. You ever take too big of a gulp of White Claw and almost get some out your nose?
I have yet to taste the White Claw.
Oh.
Meaning to. We've been having some really delicious sugar-free soda with natural fruit juice. Kind of like La Croix, but off-brand, I guess. It's good. I enjoy it. It's good. Well, it's good when you put like smoky burnt rum in it, like sure. Whatever that shit is. That stuff is awesome. I encourage people to use that as a beverage mixer. I believe it's Morgan's Black Smoky Rum or something.
Okay.
It's quite tasty.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Did I ever share any of the music of Sentient Fist with you?
I must have. Indeed you have. I'm quite a fan.
Quite a fan, wow.
I am.
I've been thinking about it lately and I was wondering if maybe I could include one of our songs at the end of this episode.
Oh, that would be perfect. There's one about the football coach, I believe.
Oh, he's a quarterback. Yeah. Oh. Brett Favre.
Yeah. That one's catchy.
It's called Brett Favre's Penis. Okay, I'll put that one at the end of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I give peppy. It an 85 easy to dance to.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Now then there's 57 Guns, which is there's a lot of like Thor's in there. Kali, just different gods from different religions get in there and cause some shit. Then,
so the band is no longer together, I take it?
Well, we're all so far apart from each other. It's very hard to get anything, you know. We all have deep affection for each other, but it's just really not feasible to
shame get that
together.
I think it's probably time for us to go.
All right. Well, before we go, I'd like to remind our one listener to support independent authors and publishers, especially Omnium Gatherum. Yes. Buy their books, leave reviews, and what the hell, go ahead and read them if you want. Kate, you got any new books published or soon to publish?
Yeah, we've got 3 coming out in September and October. It's very exciting. Look for Black Cranes by Lee Murray and Genevieve Flynn. Mark Kirkbride has a really interesting new novella coming out in September called The Plot Against Heaven. And Tom Johnstone has one coming out in September called Star Spangled Knuckle Duster. You're going to love this. It's a... It's got the Nazis and it's got old 1920s movies heroes, Bela Lugosi, and there's Meyer Lansky in there. You can love it.
I hope those Nazis are going to get punched with that star-spangled knuckle duster.
Yeah, they are.
Sweet. Yeah, and then Danielle has the An Extremis audiobook.
Oh, yes. That is a very cool Western, set like a weird Western with some really very compelling characters. Give it a listen up to Danielle Kiaku. Coming out with? What are you writing for StokerCon to release on release day? We're having such a party. I just signed up for like a ton of like catering and drink tickets. Oh man, I'm ordering books. We're going to be at a party.
Yeah, I would hate to be the sort of lame ass person who doesn't go to StokerCon in Denver and go to the Omnium Gatherum book release bonanza, because
it's going to be great. I think we're going to be on Thursday night. We're going to have guests of honor there, two of them, maybe more.
Probably more.
Yeah. Probably more.
Might be on the fucking news.
The place to be.
Yeah. In all of Denver, that's where you're going to want to be on Thursday night.
Right.
I hope there's a pool around for me to jump in and throw my clothes out of.
Yeah. You're going to have to do that if you talk about it.
Bring a kiddie pool in. Why is Brent running a hose into that kiddie pool?
You're going to have to behave yourself because you're going to bring your wife. I know you are.
I always behave myself. Yeah. Thanks for listening to Destroy the Files and setting sail with us on this week's voyage into the imagination.
Good night. I'm Kate. We'll see you next time.
And I'm Brent. Now's the time on the podcast where we say,
oh,
see you in hell.
Whatever.
You know, I think the awkward sign off is the best part of the whole podcast.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Can you cut that all together and make it make sense?